Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Like to follow along, I'm going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read like the first 7 verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now, I know very well that a lot of people will get wrapped up in verse 4 and verse 6 of this. Well, quit it. Just quit it, whoever you are. I understand this is Paul writing instructions and a letter to Timothy. And writing, he is not writing of all men and all women in the whole world, in verse 4. Okay? He has told us explicitly to pray for all men, but he does specifically say for kings and those in authority. What's he saying here? He's saying all kinds of men. Matter of fact, Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, used to be one of those in authority. Now, I don't know who was praying for him or who wasn't, but here's the thing. On the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ met him, revealed himself to him, and saved and changed his name. Paul is telling us to pray for all kinds of men, rich, poor, powerful, weak, old, young, male, female, Jew, and Gentile. And like I said, he used to be one of those in authority. Then verse 6, of course, speaks of Christ who gave himself a ransom for all. Which is true. It's certainly true. But who is that all? Well, I also happen to remember John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Shall come to me. And not only that. What? And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those are the ones for whom he ransomed himself. But that's all I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I did want to address it because I know some people, they'll focus on those two things and leave out the good stuff. Because what I want to talk about today, Paul, my title is One Mediator. One Mediator. You understand, he's the important part. He's the message. But it starts here in verse 5, for there is one God. One God. What does it say in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4? It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ himself told some that this is the first of all the commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Oh, and you know who said that? The one Lord. Isn't that something? He said it himself. Because John wrote in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." There's only one Lord. There's only one God. There's one God. There's one God. And this one God is the holy and just God. The righteous God. The one God who will punish every single sin, every transgression, and every offense. It also says he's the one God who will not clear the guilty. Oh my. The one who sees every thought and intent of the heart. You understand? If you don't know Christ, and maybe even when you do, you don't want God looking at you. You don't want God looking at you. I don't want God looking at me and seeing me for what I really am of myself. But I know he sees all. What does it say? Out of the hearts of men come every manner of evil. And Christ listed them all. Starting with, what? Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. That's where everything starts. That's where everything starts. And I've heard it. I've known people who've told me to my face, "Well, God knows my heart." Well, yes, he does. And it ought to scare the dickens out of you. You understand? He not only knows the thoughts, but he knows your intent. And I'm going to tell you something. I know the intents of some people. It comes out of them. And it's not pleasant. And it's not good. And I'm guilty of that myself. What? Preachers say mean things? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're men just like anybody else. And we get vexed just like anybody else. And I get mad at people, and my lips run, and my tongue runs, and it's an unruly member. This is the God who knows all of that, the one God. There is one God. But praise God, he didn't stop there. He said, and. There's one God, yes. A God who sees all, knows all, and knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows what you've even been thinking of doing and not done. Which Christ said was a sin. Oh yeah. To look after a woman in lust is to commit an adultery in your heart. That's what the law said. Christ didn't change the law. He just explained it. He preached on it in this way. But here it is. There's a mediator. One mediator between God and men. Oh my. Why do we need a mediator? Well, didn't you hear what I just told you? This is God who sees the thoughts and intents of your heart. This is a God who will not clear the guilty. This is the God who is holy, right, good, and we are none of the above. We need a mediator. All right? Because the other thing this God said was, what? And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." That's Exodus 33 and 20. Luke 16 and verse 15. "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men." It's not bad. No, it's not bad. It's not horrible. No, it's just that is an abomination in the sight of God. You understand? Sin is an abomination in the sight of God. And we're full of it. We're full of it. Proverbs 6:16. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." What are they? A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Oh my. He will by no means clear the guilty. This one God. We need a mediator. We need a mediator. What's it say? The soul that sins shall die. The soul that sins, it shall die. No man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten of the Father, he hath declared him. Our mediator. One mediator. He that has seen the Son hath seen the Father. One mediator between God and men. We must have a mediator between us and God. Why? In order to live. To live. Because God is of purer eyes than ever to behold sin, and we are nothing in and of ourselves except sin. That's what we are. What is it? There's no soundness in man. We are wounds and bruises and not even sores. We're putrefying sores. Rotten, infected sores. And all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. What? In God's sight. In God's sight. They may look pretty good to us. They may look wonderful to your neighbors. But in God's sight, they're filthy rags. We need a mediator. And nevertheless, I like that word, nevertheless, we have a mediator between God and men. What is that word? It is a go-between. We have a go-between. That's the word. The one mediator goes between God and man. And that's what I need. That's what I need. That's who I need. Because he can stand, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, can stand before a holy God in holiness himself. Himself. And he can stand before men, and he did, and not be defiled. Oh, I like that. I like that. Because he is our one mediator between God and men. He can bring us both together in himself. Not in you, not in me, in himself. In himself. Oh, I like that. He brings the two together in himself because God loves him. And praise God, Christ loves us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And in him, God, the one God, the one who will never clear the guilty, oh, he loves us in his Son. In his Son. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, glory to God in the highest. God accepts man in his Son. Only in his Son, but in his Son, he accepts us wholly. And who is his Son? Who is our mediator? Says it. The man, Christ Jesus. The one mediator is the man, Christ. Not the God. Although he is. He is. He is. He's both. The Word who was with God and the Word who was God, what? Became flesh. But not only became flesh, he dwelt among us. Tabernacled, as Earl used to say. It's the word. Tabernacled, lived in tents with us. Oh, that's good stuff. He tabernacled, lived among men, loving his own and saving the lost. While he was here, he preached the gospel to the poor. And he came and called sinners to repentance. He called himself the one mediator. God-man. Was it Adam Kadmon, Earl used to say? The God-man, Jesus Christ. The man Christ Jesus called himself the good shepherd of the sheep. Ah, the good shepherd of the sheep. Because here's the thing. He was kind and gentle to his sheep. He was kind and gentle. He received his sheep. But I'm going to tell you something. He struck fear in those that oppose God. This man, Christ Jesus, our mediator, the one mediator between God and men. You understand? They hated him without a cause. Without a cause. They tried to kill him. And here's the thing. They tried to kill him as he was perfectly keeping the Father's law. As he was keeping that holy commandment. He was keeping it, and they tried to kill him. More than once. More than once. He was and is fully God and fully man. And this is the man that mediates between God and men. This man, Christ Jesus, is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. This man, Christ Jesus, ever lives to make intercession for us, for his people. Oh, I like that. I do. The Lord of hosts is his name. What? The Holy One of Israel. And one more title. The Redeemer. The Redeemer. You understand? Because not only do we have this one mediator, let's be perfectly clear about it. He has the very right to be that mediator. No one else does. No one else could anyway. No one else can. But he not only can, he has the very right to do it. Why? Because not only is he the Lord of hosts, not only is he the Holy One of Israel, he's what? He's the Redeemer. The Redeemer. And that's what Paul tells us in the next verse. Our mediator is the very Son of God, only begotten and well beloved. And this one mediator is the one who gave himself, what? A ransom. And it says for all. And I'm telling you this, it's for all his people. To be testified in due time. I like that part too. But he gave himself a ransom. You'll find this verse in Job. Now, this was spoken by Elihu, who was not rebuked of God. It's in Job 33 and verse 24. He says, then he is gracious unto him and saith, what? Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Oh, you understand? And it wasn't Job that found the ransom. It wasn't Elihu that found the ransom. It was God that found the ransom. Oh, I like that. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Oh, you know? I didn't find the ransom. He did. I didn't even know I needed a ransom, Walter. He did. He did. Oh, my, I like that. What ransom was found? But wrong question. Who's the ransom? Who's the ransom? Who gave himself a ransom? He gave himself a ransom for all, just as I said before, all that the Father gave to him. That's who he ransomed. I'll read it again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know why? Because he paid the ransom. He paid the ransom. And he paid the ransom with himself. With himself. Oh, I like that. He himself ransomed us. And that gives him the right to be the mediator between God and man. And I'm going to say this. Legally. You understand what I'm saying here? Our ransom is our Redeemer. Our Redeemer is our ransom. He gave himself. All that the Father, what? Gives to him. Gave to him. What's that mean? We belong to him. We belong to him. And that's what the word ransom means. Purchase. Redeemer. Purchase. You understand? Jesus Christ owns his people. Now, we don't like to talk about ownership and people together because it has bad connotations. But I don't mind it when Jesus Christ is my owner. He owns me. And he owns you and he owns everyone. He paid the price. He bought you with his precious blood. He gave himself a ransom and he owns his people. I was asked a question at work. It's kind of what made me start pondering on this a little bit. Because a fella asked me what was the difference between owning something and possessing it. This is one guy I work with. I'm not going to go into. I didn't ask him why, because frankly, I was afraid I might get an answer. But here's the thing. That's what I told him, okay? I told him it was possible to possess something you don't own. Now, for whatever reason, you know, you may have just found it. Who knows? But it is possible to possess something you don't own. But ownership, oh my. Think about it. Owning it means it belongs to you whether you possess it or not.
Amen.
Now think about that for a minute, because that got me. When I was explaining it to him, it hit me. Because ownership, owning, is a legal term. Is a legal term. Now, what does that mean for the elect of God? Well, I'm going to tell you this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ bought his people.
Yeah.
He paid the ransom with himself. He purchased us with his own precious blood. And he owns us whether we know it or not. Now, isn't that something glorious? Oh, I like that. Because you understand, he said it. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. What's that mean? Well, there's two kinds of sheep. There's lost sheep and there's found sheep. Well, guess what? He owns them all. He owns them all. And he is in the process of finding every single one of his lost sheep. And he's bringing them in and bringing them into his flock. Oh, I like that. I do. Because here's the thing. Even if you are a lost sheep, you belong to him. He's going to find you. He's going to find you. Oh, I like that. And he says this, what? To be testified in due time. Now, this is the testimony. He gave himself a ransom for all. This is the testimony. The testimony is not about you. The testimony is about him. You understand? He gave himself a ransom for his own to those that the Father gave to him, and he ever lives to make intercession for them. Because he is not only he is the perfect mediator, he is the perfect intercessor. And God has accepted us in him. In him. Oh, I like that. We testify of him in due time. What is it? Now's the time and here's the place. Preach Christ. He's the message. He's the message. We say that and we try to mean it. We mean it. Sometimes we try to do it. Sometimes it works out better than us. But here's the thing. He is the one mediator between God and men. He has the power. He has the authority. He has the very right to do it. Because why? He owns us. He bought us with his own precious blood.
And he is not going to lose a single one of his possession. I mean, people will say what you want. They can believe what they will. This book doesn't teach that. This book teaches he's going to gather everything and everyone together in himself and present us to God. But one mediator between God and men. He's the one. He's the one mediator. Paul wrote this, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle." Well, say, "I speak the truth in Christ and lie not." That's a wonderful statement. "A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Truth. In truth and verity. Paul boldly states, "I am a preacher." Say that first. And an apostle. Oh, I like that. Paul said, "I'm looking for lost sheep. I'm preaching. Hoping God will give them life and give them faith and give them ears to hear and they receive" what? The truth. The truth. "I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." That's what verity means. In truth. "A teacher of the Gentiles. Christ has redeemed his people, ransomed his people, gave himself as a ransom for his people, and he is bringing in many sons unto glory." Glory. Why? In faith and in truth. We have a mediator between God and man. And what a great and precious mediator he is. And we have. We have. That song I sent you, Walter, John Newton wrote this. And this is one of the reasons why I found it. "Salvation. What a glorious plan. How suited to our need. The grace that raises fallen man is wonderful indeed. 'Twas formed the vast design." What? "To ransom us when lost." He provided himself a ransom. Oh, I like that. "And love's unfathomable mind provided all the cost." You understand? Salvation is free to us. But it costs Christ himself. He gave himself a ransom.